Welcome back to The Horse Race, your weekly look at politics, policy, and elections in Massachusetts. I'm Steve Cazella here with Jennifer Smith and Libby Gormley, and today we have an announcement for you all.
That is correct. As some of you may have seen on Twitter and freaked out a little bit, The Horse Race podcast will be taking a break after this episode. Steve, our beloved producer Libby, and I are actually in the midst of creating a new series that we plan to bring to you this summer. Libby, hey, hi, welcome back to the pod. What can the people expect?
Yeah, so The Horse Race is taking a few weeks off as we hunker down on a new project. We're kind of embarking on a new direction, so it'll sound a little bit different than what you're used to hearing. But of course, it'll still be very much Massachusetts focused and have lots of Mapley elements, but it won't be exactly the same. I don't want to give too much away right now, but we hope you'll still give it a listen once it's out. And yeah, so just bear with us as we take a few weeks off to dedicate to just working on it, and we'll get you something new and exciting to listen to this summer.
Yes, so please keep an eye out for that. We will be returning to your feed soon, so do not delete us. Be sure to follow us also on Twitter for updates as we have them. But until then, this is our last episode for the time being. So the question that we usually ask at this point in the podcast is, what are we doing here? And we have a really fun answer to that. Because this is the last episode of The Horse Race for a while, and to celebrate our almost 4 years of the show, we're bringing back the founding members of The Horse Race, original co-host Lauren Dezensky, and original producer Hannah Shenatry. So let's go.
You can't make me say it. You'll never be able to make me say it.
Oh, come on. Just for the listeners, just this once?
Just, all right, folks, giddy up.
The Horse Race podcast has been around for nearly 4 years, bringing you a weekly dose of Massachusetts politics, policy, and elections. And during that time, we've had the good fortune of working with an array of talented producers and hosts. And in honor of celebrating the last Horse Race episode for a while, we decided to get the founding members back together for a trot down memory lane. Joining us now are the original Horse Race co-host Lauren Dezensky and the original Horse Race producer Hannah Shenatry. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
It's great to be on this side of the mic. It's weird.
Yeah, poor Hannah just had to deal with our like ums and uhs, and I don't want to speak for you, Steve, but I know certainly for me, I was a lot to edit. So thank you. years later, thank you, Hannah.
And also back when we honestly had no idea what we were doing either, because none of us had ever done a podcast or edited audio or like set up microphones or anything like that.
Yes, it was trial and error.
A little bootleg.
It was also a period of time where there were like three podcasts in the world as well. So you guys were like, I don't even know what to model this on.
I Googled.
How do we cut?
I Googled.
Incredible. Oh my God. Well, okay. I mean, speaking of the start of everything, as of this week, The Horse Race has produced a whopping 181 episodes and has been around since 2017. I joined in 2018 right after some truly wild midterms. So I'm curious, Steve, Dezensky, Hannah, what was the genesis of this podcast?
I'm pretty sure it was Steve and I sitting in his office, like after work-ish, just kind of like chatting, and I don't know. And I think we just kind of realized that there was a need for some sort of like authority on politics. And we saw it as an opportunity to do something different and do something new that wasn't being done yet. Because at that point, really all there was in terms of Massachusetts political podcasts was The Scrum, which is still excellent and still fantastic, and everyone should still listen to it. But Steve was coming at it as a pollster, which is a whole other type of authority. And then I was Massachusetts Playbook author. And it was just kind of a natural platform and natural, I think, sense of, like, I don't want to keep using the word authority, but I think authority is kind of the right word to use here. And so we just started and reached out to some people, and those first episodes sounded like we were literally recording in tin cans, because we basically were.
And yeah, then we didn't have massing. any of the fancy gear. It was a lot of, like, at least from a production standpoint, like figuring it out as we went along. You know, I at the time was working as sort of an assistant for the Massing Polling Group. It was a part-time job.
And I had just moved to Massachusetts, so really all of this was new to me. And I also kind of attribute those after work chats as like my crash course in Boston and Massachusetts politics, which then became the podcast as my crash course in these, in just this entire field. And I wasn't joking when I said I Googled, like Steve said he wanted to do this podcast, and I said, okay. And then I went to my computer and I Googled how to make a podcast and relied on a lot of like NPR training materials and things that other people had put together. And, you know, we found our groove. It took a couple episodes, but I think we really sort of found that sweet spot.
Yeah, it definitely took a couple episodes. In fact, we dug through the archives just for this episode and have some audio from that very first episode.
Oh, no.
So let's go ahead and take a listen to that.
Welcome to The Horse Race, a new weekly podcast covering Massachusetts' most exciting campaigns. I'm Steve Cazella, president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group.
And I'm Lauren Dzensky, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook. So in the spirit of full disclosure here, despite our ample use of horse humor, or at least attempts to use it, and some excellently crafted puns, we actually know nothing about horse racing, so please bear with us. But we do know plenty about kids.
That has changed over time.
We went a little heavy on the horse puns in the beginning. We did.
It was so cringe. Oh, my God. And to think people still listen to this. This is remarkable.
Yeah, can you even imagine since then we literally did a live podcast at a horse race? Like, we did not. We leaned away from the puns slightly, but leaned into the actual literal horse racing.
You know, it's all about brand development. And I would say this is a success.
We actually had a horse race named after us. That's how far we went from
that.
That
is true. I forgot about that. Oh my God.
The horse race pod race.
That's right.
Tremendous. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. I mean, that like the thing too, I was wondering, Steve, is kind of how this has sort of interacted with your role as a pollster is often something I think about. Dez, of course, mentioned at the time there was a lot of commentary that was happening mostly kind of from political journalists, so people who were already kind of following this in a professional capacity day to day, but polling and the way that we talked about it wasn't really a presence in the podcast world at the time.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge, I think, with lots of stories on, I guess, any media, written or audio, is just time. You know, you don't have enough time to really dig into it the way you would want to if you could kind of design your own platform. And that's kind of what the horse race did. You know, if Lauren or Stephanie had a story, or you had a story, or I had a poll, we could really go into it and really like spend the time on it to go beneath just that. Well, what was interesting about this? What surprised you about this? Okay, cut, next segment. You know, we could really kind of get into it. So that was fun. And I think for all of us, for me at least, the result of it is you spend hundreds of hours in front of a microphone and you get better at it. You know, you can hear that in the listening to us back in the beginning, kind of how we didn't really know what we were doing. The sound quality, definitely didn't know what we were doing there. And now, you know, we've kind of found our footing. And I think that's, I mean, Hannah's now a producer for All Things Considered, moving on from Googling what, you know, how to start a podcast. That's pretty amazing, right?
Yes, I would like to be very clear that I have grown a lot since that first day.
You don't Google how to produce radio now every morning?
No, I do not. I've got a little bit more instinct for it these days.
I think the other thing is that the horse race has just been fun all around. I mean, that was the other point from the beginning. You know, another thing that made us start the podcast is we just get together after work and think, you know, if we just like turned on a microphone right now, it'd be a great podcast.
And we'd all be fired.
Immediately get fired. No delay on that, because it was like, wow, this is really irreverent and off the record kinds of stuff. But, you know, there was a middle ground between that and the more traditional, like, here's the facts, here's the lead, here's the nut graph, et cetera. And I think we found a fun place. Like, we found a fun way to talk about politics that I've really enjoyed.
You can't see, but I'm nodding my head vigorously in agreement here.
And you guys started at a really interesting time, too. I mentioned up top, you know, I took over from you, Dzensky, you know, after 2018, after Ayanna Pressley and everyone in that cohort got elected. But you guys started in 2017, right when some really interesting races were heating up. I mean, Massachusetts was really kind of on mm-hmm. the cusp of a really interesting moment.
Yeah, honestly, Massachusetts politics, it was a different world than what it is now. Like, before we were getting ready for this podcast, I was thinking about how, you know, back when I was doing this up until 2018, AirPods weren't a thing. And also Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley was not a thing. You know, it was just entirely different. And look at the star of Senator Elizabeth Warren and the way that we talked about her before, and, you know, oh, there's no way she would run for president. Well, you know, joke's on me. She ran for president and, like, actually now is this super progressive firebrand that has this presence and this magnetism with voters all across the country and has totally resonated in a way that would have shocked 2017 reporter Lauren Dzensky. So it's just really remarkable. And I think that that's one of the things that has made this podcast so special, like jumping to national politics and kind of realizing like there's a world outside of Massachusetts, which I still kind of beg to differ. what happens in the state and the politics in the state and kind of the nuance that this podcast specifically digs into speaks to something that's really special and you don't see in other parts of the country. I also think, you know, shout out to the listeners who have tuned in, maybe not for every episode, probably not those first ones, but who have kind of, you know, knowing that there even is an audience who's interested in digging into these minute details and sometimes kind of like insular policy fights, but actually have a major impact on all of our lives and about public policy and everything else. Like, I just think that's so wonderful and so special. And I think that, you know, Steve and Jennifer and Stephanie and everyone else, you've all done such a wonderful job at carrying that mantle. And I'm just really proud of you guys. I just think it's so cool to see this.
I'm going to go tunnel directly into the ground. This is so embarrassing. Hannah, you mentioned that.
Sorry.
I'm going to pivot away from me. Hannah, so you were talking about how this was kind of your crash course in Massachusetts politics, too. Well, what was it actually like to be getting a crash course during that time period? Were you being told over and over, this is the way Massachusetts politics works, and then all the elections look totally different?
Not even really that. I mean, it was more just, I mean, step one was like learning the players. And I think that that was actually a huge thing that the podcast did for me because we had so many voices on. And it's actually been really interesting seeing those players change as we've had these elections. And also as these issues have come up and gone away and come back up again and are becoming more part of the mainstream political conversation. But yeah, I think it was, for me, it was a lot of listening because that's what you do as a producer is you listen. And it was a lot of just listening to these people who are really, really passionate about their whether it's their politics or the issues that they're working on, but they're talking about things beyond the soundbite. A lot of what you see in news stories and the way it often needs to function just because of space and time is a shorter quote or a shorter soundbite or something that gets to the sort of the core of what it is they're saying. But so much of a policy and so much of a political position, there's a lot of nuance, there's a lot of context. And this was a really interesting place where that's the focus. And you really got to dig into, you know, it's not just that Democrats agree with this position or Republicans agree with this position. It's within this position, here are the different buckets and why people like this but not that. And it just digs in a lot deeper, which I think was very eye-opening for me.
We've had some really great guests, great segments, and great live shows through the years. We've had reporters from around Mapley, which we now know how to pronounce after extensive audience research. We've had elected officials. We even had a player from the Celtics on the pod. So I have to ask, what sticks out for each one of you as your favorite moments?
So I can jump in first. I think for me, one of the moments that sticks out to me was when we had Senate President Chandler on. You know, it's been a little while, so I don't necessarily remember all the details of the conversation or even whether it was one of the best episodes. But for me, having her on really was kind of
indicative of, like, you know, not only are people paying attention to this, but powerful people are paying attention to this, and people who are making decisions in the state legislature are paying attention to this. And, you know, it was sort of like a, okay, we're actually on the map. And if we're raising concerns, or we're raising questions, or we're talking about things that have a real impact on the lives of regular people, the folks that are making those decisions are listening to what we're saying about it. And that for me was a big moment of, like, we have something to say and people are listening.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise to me too, when important people and even their staff started to listen and started to want to be on the pod, not just like us asking them, but them asking us, could they come on the horse race, or could their elected official come on? That I do remember that. And it was a total shock to the system. But Jen, how about you? What was your favorite moment?
Well, see, the interesting thing too is, A, I think my favorite moment was sort of the weirdness and oddballness around actually going to Suffolk Downs and doing a live horse race and wearing giant hats and stuff. That was just a really fun day. But one thing that really struck me, Steve, while you were talking, is I think Des and I, because we were coming from a local news background, because we were coming from the Dorchester Reporter, which was also a smaller publication that punched way above its weight class, I think I at some level wasn't surprised that a lot of people who were involved in state politics and even national politics wanted to come on. I think because one of the most important things about all of their jobs is to reach as many people as possible, but also to really pick out the organizations that they think are going to accomplish that purpose. And so I was always really impressed coming on as a guest here before I was a host, because we were talking about the Suffolk County DA race in a lot of detail. And then Rachel Rollins came on to one of our live podcasts. So I think that kind of guest caliber was really a reflection of the work that you folks were doing at the time. And I think that was something pretty unusual for how young the podcast was at the moment. Does that ring true in a way? Obviously, you had some big interviews when you were still at the Dot Reporter, so it kind of makes sense they would follow you here.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you. I'm flattered. I'm humbled. I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. I would have to agree that having Senate President Harriet Chandler on also, to me, reflected that first moment of, like, wow, this is actually something. And, you know, not only are we talking about the issues that are happening up at the State House, but we have, like, literally the most important policymaker in the Senate coming on our little rinky dink podcast. So that very much, like, resonated. Again, I think it all goes back to the audience that continued to tune in and responded to policy heavy interviews and policy heavy conversations. And yes, of course, like, there was the political side, but you can only there's only so much about a campaign that happens over the course of a week to fill airtime. You know, it's not worth it to break down every single location that someone is going to over the course of a week. Like, that does not a political podcast make. It's the policy that really kind of drives all of it. And again, like, you guys have had members of Congress. Like, it's so cool to see and know that there is an audience that's there for that, and that kind of grew up with this podcast as well.
We also had a representative from Speaker DeLeo's office reach out and express their displeasure that Speaker DeLeo had never been on the horse race.
I forgot about that.
Even though we invited, yes. Wow. We reached out to his office several times asking him to be on. And when we extended an invitation following that, they never responded. So now that he's...
Oh, just a little wow. Bomb drop there in the middle is. Of Classic. It saying, don't you come at us if you weren't on it. We definitely asked.
Yeah, sorry to everyone who asked if they could come on the podcast, yeah. And I just never responded.
Yeah.
Because that happened a lot.
We did our
it's
best.
It's true. We only have so many. Only yeah, have so many slots, like, in a week.
Just because they're interested in coming on doesn't mean that they're worth coming on. Sorry, oh. But...
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
No, I will say, though, Des, on your point, you know, the really digging into the policy, it just reminded me, I think this was one of our early episodes, I do think we had improved our sound quality, but it was an earlier episode, and we had Sean Curran on talking about,
like money in politics and campaign finance.
This was our third episode. This is still one of my favorite episodes.
I thought that was like, that was a defining episode for me just personally, because I was learning about money and politics, but it was at such a level that's not really discussed anywhere else, but he made it make sense in a way that would make somebody who is not necessarily a part of politics really understand and care about why it's important to understand campaign finance.
Totally.
And people listened. We were three episodes in and we're talking about, like, for, I don't remember if it was 20, 30 minutes about campaign finance and really digging into it. And people listened. I mean, come on. I don't know what's wrong with you people, but I'm really glad you're that kind of weird.
And our retrospective wouldn't be complete without looking at some of the most extraordinary moments in horse race history. And one of them has to be the absolutely extraordinary effort that our beloved co-host Jennifer Smith put in to get the state polka reinstated onto the internet. Jen, take us through what happened there.
Well, it all started with a really fun kind of trivia based segment that we were doing about all of the state things there are, like what's the state rock, what's the state, you know, attempted state rock song,
state horse,
what are all of the, yeah, exactly. What's the state dessert? That's also how I found out that in an effort to make the Boston cream pie cupcake the national or the state cupcake failed. And that's why there's just this weird empty hole if you go and you poke through legislation and all of the bills around designating the state anything. Right above the state groundhog, there is an empty space that was meant to go to the state cupcake, and it's not there. Anyway.
Jennifer, not all heroes wear capes.
However, yeah, speaking of like nerdy deep dives, God bless any of you that came along for that ride. So in the process of this, we realized that there were actually a lot of state songs. And so we were going through and trying to listen to some of them. And we discovered that there was a Massachusetts state polka, allegedly. Say Hello to Somebody in Massachusetts by Lenny Gamolka and the Chicago Push. And I was searching everywhere for this thing because I just thought, what a great way to kind of close out the episode if we could find a little clip of that song. And let me tell you, I could not find anything on this. And so I needed to basically go to the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office multiple times and was trying to find out, is there any kind of archived version of this song? Did Lenny give you anything? And they were absolute angels over there because after many, many emails back and forth, they got in touch with Lenny, who was on vacation at the time, and said, we need a copy of the state polka. Do you have one? And he said, yes, as soon as I'm back from vacation, I will send it over. And so he sent over the SoundCloud link. It is linked to on the official state website now. So every time you now hear the Massachusetts state polka, which I can only imagine is every single day because it's got to be all of your ringtones at this point, you can just think about all of the extremely weird emails I was sending during very important news cycles to try and hunt this thing down. And heroes, not just me, but the folks over at the State of the Commonwealth's office, and most importantly, Lenny Gamolka, doing yeoman's work.
Jennifer, thank you for your service. This may be the defining moment of your career, Jen.
Oh.
Let's hope not.
Ow.
This little podcast getting some results. So proud. So proud.
Thank you. But yes, that should have been my favorite moment. But it is my prized accomplishment. Favorite moment still has to be, you know, the hats from the horse race.
Naturally.
Steve, do you have one?
I think for me, it was the Suffolk Downs live show. That was just such fun and so completely silly, and was also kind of the end of a plan that Lauren and Hannah and I had tried to make even years before that, where we were even going to just like sneak in and do like a photo shoot there, because wouldn't it be cool to like have some pictures of us at the racetrack? And then,
I forgot about that.
Then we heard from Suffolk Downs and they're like, well, why don't you come over and do a whole live show? And we're like, you know, we don't actually know anything about horse racing, right?
yeah, they were remarkably supportive.
It was so fun. That day was so fun and so kind of irreverent and silly, which was in terms of the construction of it, but then with actual serious content. You know, that was kind of the like a metaphor for the whole pod in that way, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We had City Councilor Lydia Edwards, who was in the middle of this big push to basically deal with what was going to be happening to Suffolk Downs. And we also had Anthony Amore on to talk about the Isabella Stewart Gardner heist and Shannon Liss Reardon, who at the time was challenging Ed Markey for Senate in the pre-Joe Kennedy days. So we had content, not just fun hats.
Style and substance. New hashtag.
We also had lots of friends of the pod there that day. And we do need to just name some of the friends of the pod that we've had on so many times that we need to shout out to them as well. Of course, official BFF of the pod, Katie Lannon. Sarah Betancourt has been on many times. Now Metro Page Associate Editor of the Boston Globe, Vicky McGrain. Old friends like Andy Metzger, Maeve Duggan, Rich Parr. All the Commonwealth reporters, of course. We also have to give a special shout out to Ari Afsevit, who has the most trivia points of any horse race listener and has gotten in touch with us, I think, pretty concerned about what's going to happen to his trivia points. Like, what will he actually be able to redeem them for?
What will he get?
Well, we were really sorry to have to inform him that internal horse race policy means you can't redeem them while we're off season. So he's just going to have to wait it out through the summer. And then when our consultants are back in the bunker, we can, you know, review his request again.
Interesting. Justice for Ari's points.
We also have to give a shout out to our friends over at the UK consulate. There's also kind of a funny backstory there. Lauren, that started when you were here too. What happened there? How did it get to them just dunking us out of existence on Twitter?
It was the candy.
Oh yeah, I think it was the Maltesers. Because remember we had those like novelty sunglasses that we would wear during like recording. Also, one of my side favorite memories was all the like ridiculous pictures we would take of ourselves recording. Which also included Fig Newtons at one point, but I believe it was the Maltesers. And then we got into some sort of blood feud. Oh no, because we were trying to get Maltesers to sponsor us.
Oh, right.
And then which is a British candy. And then the UK consulate stepped in, as governments are wont to do, and things escalated.
It did turn into a funny and long-term friendship, though. And actually, Jen and Stephanie and I went over to an event that they had organized and spoke to what seemed like important people that they had brought to America to, unfortunately, have to learn about politics from people like us.
To meet with the horse race.
To meet with the horse race. That's all they were here for.
And many of our guests, of course, and even ourselves sometimes, because we love awarding ourselves things, have been so honored as to have a formal title bestowed upon them. Some have been more distinguished than others. Let's take a listen to some of the greats.
We have Brigadier General of Horse Raising, Fundraising, and Advertising Correspondents, Sean Curran.
The co-presidents of the Horse Race District Attorney Primaries Correspondents Association, Michael Jonas of Commonwealth Magazine, and Jen Smith of the Dorchester Reporter.
We welcome back President of the Elizabeth Warren Horse Race Correspondents Association, Vicky McGrain.
We have Horse Race Correspondent Association Lifetime Achievement Award winner, Katie Lannon of the State House News Service.
Here to answer all of those questions and more is the president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group and the crown prince of COVID-19 public opinion polling, our very own Steve Cazella.
He's the head of the Horse Race Ballot Questions Correspondents Association. We need to find you a shorter title. And a State House News Service reporter, Matt Murphy.
She's a research director at the Mass Inc. Polling Group and vice president of the Political Sports Polling Analysis Department here at Horse Race Global Media Headquarters. Welcome, Maeve.
Joining us on the horse race to discuss the poll's findings is Mass Inc. Polling Group research director and lieutenant commander of Learning During COVID, Maeve Duggan.
We're promoting you to the supreme commander of climate change legislation. Thanks, Tim, for being with us.
That's tremendous.
That's wild. Who did we make a commodore? I swear to God, we like gave someone an entire, I think we gave Michael Jonas an armada.
I think it was Michael Jonas.
He deserves it.
I remember because he said ahoy and we just like bust out laughing and had to cut like full minutes of us just cracking up. But anyway, according to horse race policy, everyone gets to keep their titles for however long they shall deem necessary until the aforementioned. No, I can't do legalese. Jen, you do something.
Unlike the trivia points.
Well, I was just going to say the thing about it is you've got to view this as a pause. So whatever your trivia points were, whatever your title is, you get to keep those for, I assume, the coming rebellion.
Yay.
I guess. Though again, yay. Dzensky, do you have any military awards as a former host of the horse race, or did you just never get a title?
I think I got one on my last episode, but sadly I have forgotten it. That's a reflection of me, not of you guys.
Also, over the years, we here at The Horse Race developed a deep and complex love-hate relationship with a reality television franchise known as The Bachelor. So we're going to take this opportunity right here on this episode to formally apologize for all of the Bachelor and Bachelorette content that we've included on this podcast. Anybody have anything to add to that?
Everyone was very brave to sit through it. I mean, I really do appreciate, speaking of, you know, all of the pain our listeners go through and their dedication to the podcast, I really appreciated the tweets in the DM saying, "We love you guys. I skipped through the first 4 minutes of this podcast because you were talking about The Bachelor, then listened to the rest, and the rest of it was great. But that first 4 minutes was real painful." So even though we stopped watching the season as it devolved into absolute chaos, it did provide us with some funny and cringeworthy moments in the past that I think brought us stronger together as a horse race family. This was, however, after Dez and Hannah fled the scene, blessedly.
Coincidence?
Do you two have any strong feelings?
Coincidence? I think not. I would like to blame Jennifer Smith for the fact that I do have strong feelings about The Bachelor. I am just going to let you presume what you will about what those strong feelings are, but they are Jen's fault.
It's true. I'm so sorry.
Listen, as a noted public and out supporter of the Real Housewives franchises, I'm not sure I can support The Bachelor. However, you guys have clearly done some great work with it, so I have to cede my authority and offer a bow to your success at somehow integrating it into a Massachusetts political podcast. Somehow you did it, and it worked. So hats off to you.
We got to have a shout out to newly departed co-host Stephanie Murray for her dogged reporting on Massachusetts Connection contestant Bennett Jordan II and going through like campaign filings and his Harvard history. I just
did
like
she
that commitment
really?
Is inspired. She
tenacious.
Did.
Tenacious. That's what she is.
Hannah's face is astonishing right now.
That's tremendous.
With commitment matched only by the ferocity with which she uncovered the ball pit, the hidden ball pit lobby.
That was so good. It was so good.
Oh, man. Nothing but respect for our Stephanie. All right, team. Well, with that, we are headed out to pasture. But fear not, folks. You won't have to live without our dulcet tones for long. We'll be back with a preview of our summer series 2. But until then, I am Jennifer Smith. Our producer this week is Libby Gormley. A genuine thank you from all of us here at the Horse Race Global Media Empire headquarters for your years of loyal listening and all the fun we've had along the way. We hope you'll join us for this next leg of the race. See you in a bit.